What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Four and a half feet was the putt that J.J. Spaun made on 18. He didn't need to make that putt to finish one under par. He just needed a two putt, but it did add at least something positive on a day of total golf carnage. Good morning, everybody. Max is here with me. We've got a couple of guests scheduled. Maybe one more will be added to the mix, but Andrew Golden, who covers the Nats for the Washington Post, he'll be on with us at 12. So we'll save the Davey Martinez quotes about it not being the coach's fault for this long losing streak from the other night until 12. Andrew will jump on with us then. Ben will join us later on in the 12 o'clock hour, although we will talk football long before we get to Ben. And maybe, just maybe, we'll have one other guest, depending on his availability as he gets ready to fly down to Oklahoma City for tonight's game five, which I got to tell you, man, I am fired up to watch tonight. If you're not watching the NBA finals, I'm sorry about that. You are missing an unbelievable, compelling sports competition drama. It is fabulous to watch. It is physical. It is relentless. It is intense. Game four, amazing. Never saw it coming. Just like game one, never saw it coming. Tonight, game five back in Oklahoma with an NBA Finals series tied at two games apiece. I'll get into my thoughts on tonight and go back to Friday night a little bit in just a bit. But I do want to start with the golf because I know a lot of you were watching this. What else was on? I mean, on Saturday, Caitlin Clark was lighting it up. I did flip on just in time to see the three threes in about 50 seconds or something like that, Max. She ended up with 32. She was amazing. But I did not stick with it the rest of the way. I was into the golf this weekend. And until yesterday, it really wasn't much. You know, you didn't have major names. You had names. Adam Scott, I was rooting for heading into the final round. He's been a class act his whole career, has not won a major since winning the Masters in 2013. He blew that big, you know, lead that he had against at the British Open that year that Ernie Els ended up winning it. But look, the final round yesterday of the U.S. Open was one of those competitions that gets described in a way that isn't necessarily aesthetically pleasing. It's about, wow, that was a battle of wills. That was about surviving. That was a last man standing situation. It was riveting to watch. I thought it was. I didn't think the first 3 days were. Yesterday, when you throw in the rain and the standing water on the course, I mean, it was a total S show. at times out there. I mean, Oakmont won the slugfest. J.J. Spawn ended up being the last man standing, and he's a great story if you haven't followed the story. He nearly won the Players Championship back in March. He was a guy that thought about quitting golf as recently as a year or so ago. He was the only man in the draw to shoot under par. That may have been the biggest shocker of the final round, is that anybody over the last few hours finished under par, because it certainly seemed like a guy like Scottie Scheffler or John Rahm, who had gotten to the clubhouse at plus four before McIntyre got in there at plus one, that they might even have a shot. Boy, Scheffler played well yesterday. He just couldn't make a putt. If a couple of those putts had gone in, Scottie Scheffler would have been there. Spawn didn't need that 64.5-foot putt on 18. It was an incredible putt. He got a read from Victor Hovland on the putt before. He ends up, finishing one under, the only man to finish under par. Two shots better than Robert McIntyre. Look, when he lined up that putt, given that the rain was pelting down and there was water sort of gathering, you didn't know what to expect. Yeah, he got the read from Hovland, but at the same time, I mean, there were another 30 to 60 seconds worth of, raindrops that were hitting. Who knows? I mean, a three-putt was in play, but he drained it, and he finished one under par. And it was sort of a nice little, hey, these guys can still do it on the final hole. Although really for J.J. Spawn, the moment for him was the tee shot on 17. That was really the moment in which it became not only possible, but probable that he would win the tournament. Without needing a two-hole playoff, which would have been played today. Tirico, came on the air, at about 7:30 and said, if there is a playoff necessary, it's not the old 18-hole playoff for the U.S. Open. They now do a two-hole aggregate score playoff. Tirico said it would have been played this morning, not last night, because there was a 96-minute rain delay. Then there was more rain that followed, dark skies, sunset, approaching. They just barely got the final fourth round in, let alone had they had to gone, if it were McIntyre and Spawn, let's just say, signing scorecards, getting onto carts and going back to the tee box at 8 at 17. I don't even know what holes they would have played. I'm assuming it would have been 17 and 18. The course being soaked yesterday was a major factor in the tournament. And I want to pinpoint one moment in particular, because I thought it was some major BS for Sam Burns. Sam Burns was the leader going into the final round yesterday. He was 4-under, had a one-shot lead over Spawn and Adam Scott to start the day. He went to 15 with the lead at 1-over par, and he hit a decent drive that landed clearly in standing water. And for some reason, he wasn't given relief. And it mattered, man. It mattered big time. He hit a ball literally out of standing water. He ended up double bogeying 15, and he fell apart from that moment on. He voiced his disagreement with the ruling. Here's what he said afterwards about that moment.
That's kind of the low part of the fairway there. When I walked into it, clearly could see water coming up and took practice swings, and it's just, water splashing every single time. Called a rules official over. They disagreed. I looked at it again. I thought maybe I should get a second opinion. That rules official also disagreed. So at the end of the day, it's not up to me. It's up to the rules official, and that's kind of that.
I would have lost my mind in that moment. It was so obvious that that was deeper standing water than other players had hit from. And it definitely impacted Sam Burns's last four holes. He ended up going double bogey, bogey, then he birdied 17 and bogeyed 18 to finish 4-over par and 5 shots out of it. Look, J.J. Spawn played great, and I don't think Sam Burns was going to get it back to 1-under par, more likely than not. There would have been more pressure. He probably goes on because the drive was in the fairway. Who knows what happens, really? But certainly would have had a better shot if he had gotten relief of making par on 15. And then, you know, he probably goes to 18, even par, somewhere around there with a shot. With a shot, but he was out of it. Thought that was a horrendous ruling. Come on, golf. Figure it out, man. Some of these things are so stupid. You can't hit out of a wading pool. It's not the way you hit golf shots. It was clear as day as he was taking those warm-ups that that was deeper water than other players had had. I don't understand that and won't understand that. But, look, it was, I don't know what you root for, you golfers. If you root for this at the U.S. Open, this is the one tournament where you can get this. You know, Paul McGinley on Golf Channel, we had Steve Sands on the show on Wednesday, and I was telling him that McGinley, the night before, had predicted that if the course had firmed up and if they didn't get rain, that 10 over par could ultimately be the winning score. The course never really did firm up because they had rain, you know, the last few days, and that kept conditions much softer. Didn't make the course that much easier because if the ball didn't stay in the fairway, you were in some ugly stuff. I mean, the rough and the bunkers were incredible. And there were some guys that played well. Rory, after basically, I thought, you know, saying some things on Saturday about the media and the going back to the driver at the PGA. Rory's not happy these days. You would have thought that winning the Masters would have maybe opened up Pandora's box for him. It seems to have done the opposite. It seems to have sent him into a tizzy, but he played great yesterday. He and Rom both shot 67 on a day in which shooting under par seemed impossible. Although McIntyre did it, we didn't see him basically the whole day until the very end, and there he was with a share of the lead, you know, coming with Spahn on 17. It was, I like it. I like to see them struggle. But man, the rain really made it almost at times unplayable, it seemed like. But they slugged through it. It's golf. And there you go. I mean, you had guys basically, you know, finish yesterday, you know, playing all four rounds, shooting 20, you know, 22, 24 over par for 4 days. Yeah, somebody shot, I think, a 90 something on day two. Wasn't there a 90 that was shot on day two? Am I thinking that he was at 90 and then maybe birdied 18 for 89, something like that? But anyway, there you go. U.S. Open talk. I know that some of you were into it. I was into it. I watched. See, you know, the only golf I can sit there and watch for an all-day kind of a thing, which I did, and it was good. But Max, you were watching. What'd you think?
I was watching a lot at my grandfather's house because my internet was down all day yesterday, so that was a whole pain. So I got home and like I had just updated my Twitter, and JJ Spahn drained the 64 footer, but it was sloppy out there yesterday. It was the course that everybody talked up of being so hard decided to make itself even harder, and it was some great golf yesterday. I was locked in for as much as I could be.
Yeah, it was good. It was, you know, look, it's June 15th. I don't know why the NBA doesn't play game five last night. We should have had an NBA game last night.
Sure should have.
I don't know why they don't do that. It's Father's Day. You've got a captive audience. I don't know why they wait until Monday night, you know, when they give the 2 days in between the travel. But anyway, it was good stuff. I mean, that's one of those courses that, you know, a mid-handicapper, forget high handicappers, mid-handicappers are probably going to shoot 140, 130. You wouldn't even finish the round. It would be brutal. I don't know if that's a lot of fun. I know a lot of people that are like, I'd love to go there on Monday with the setup and go back to the tips. Why? Why would you want to do that to yourself? You're not testing yourself. You're not going to be successful. But anyway, there you go, U.S. Open. All right, so there's so much that we had over the weekend. We had some stories about the stadium and the current, you know, state of the city council. And what's going on there. It's going to be interesting. There's a deadline for the vote. They can't blow this, can they? I guess they could blow it. I can't imagine the team isn't going to give them ample time to get this done. And while that's going on, We had, over the weekend, the first football championship this city's had since 1991.
Did it, Kev?
Congratulations to the D.C. Defenders. They won the UFL championship, bringing home a football championship, if you care, to the city for the first time since, of course, the 91 Skins. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I followed this or watched it even, because I didn't. I saw on social media the congratulations for the Washington Defenders and their title in a big championship win. Good for them. They beat 58-34. I believe it was the Michigan Panthers in the championship game. They outscored Michigan in the second quarter, 31-6. So good for the DC Defenders and their UFL championship.
Jordan Ta'amu, by the way, 388, four touchdowns. He was balling.
You know, I see a lot of the, you know, social media. I was looking at it, I guess, yesterday morning. Did you watch the game?
I watched bits and pieces. I was flipping back and forth between
bits and pieces of the championship game.
I mean, so it's Stanley Cup Finals
really,
going on.
You didn't really care that much going in either.
I mean, no, it's the UF. It's not the NFL championship. It's the UFL championship.
Right.
But
I saw a lot of, you know, I don't know. It seemed like manufactured, trying really hard levels of excitement on social media.
Yeah, I did notice that
from
as well.
People that I would probably wager big money had not seen one moment of any game before the championship game and probably didn't even watch the whole championship game. When was it on? It was on Saturday night?
Yes, Saturday at like 8 o'clock.
It was Saturday at 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
Was it on a network of note?
Yeah, it was on ABC.
It was on ABC?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Congrats to the DC Defenders. Oh, here's a question for you. Mm. Is Greg Williams still the defensive coordinator?
No, because I'm pretty sure the big story with the DC Defenders was before the season, their coaching staff all left for new jobs. So this is
Jobs like going to, you know, some sort of office job,
like NFL coaching positions and things like that.
Oh, NFL coaching positions?
No, not accounting. No, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. It was quite the offensive explosion, that's for sure. 58 points, I think I read, was the highest total points ever in a UFL game. I believe that's what I read. And like you said, the quarterback, who I think was the quarterback when I went to a game last year, because I went to a playoff game against Seattle last year or 2 years ago.
Probably last year.
Ended up trying to talk with... the guy that was the general manager of the team, because he was sitting literally right next to me, and I recognized him, started to talk to him, and he wasn't paying attention because he had the headset on and the game was going on.
He was locked in.
It was, God, I'm blanking on the guy's name. I've had him on the show. He's a great guest. Starting to happen. Blanking on things. Anyway, congrats to the DC Defenders. It's fantastic for all of the players and all of the owners. We know one of the owners. Tommy and I know one of the owners. I don't know if they still own it, but they took us to a game last year or 2 years ago, playoff game. Audi Field's a great place to see a game. Is that where they still play? I'm assuming that's where it is. Where was the championship game?
It was in St. Louis.
In St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. They had the.
But they played Michigan.
Yeah, so they played the. The conference championships in St. Louis, and then the championship game was a week later.
Yeah. Congrats. It's awesome. Okay, when we come back, I do want to talk some NBA finals. I want to talk about game four from Friday night. This is an incredibly unique basketball pro style series, and I'll explain why when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What makes Alex very good is that he's able to figure out what we need and be that. Makes big shots, and then obviously defense speaks for itself, but he's just really smart, so he's kind of like our fill-in. Like, he does a really good job of just seeing what the game needs and then doing it at 100%, which is hard to do since he's like 100. So, he's just like our glue, you know, on that end of the floor. And then defensively, he's been special, and, you know, he'll continue to be that for sure.
Talking about Alex Caruso. Who was that? I didn't catch who you said.
That was Jalen Williams on Alex Caruso.
That was Jalen Williams. Got it. Jalen Williams talking about 100-year-old Alex Caruso, I think he mentioned. Alex Caruso, the one champion on Oklahoma City's roster. He won a title, with the Lakers back in the bubble during COVID in 2020. He was outstanding the other night. So game 5 tonight, NBA Finals. I mean, 2-2. What else, you know, do you want if you're into this, but a series that has, you know, a pivotal game 5? This is, you know, one of those where the numbers say in a 2-2 series, if you win game 5, you go on to win the series 82% of the time. So crucial tonight. Oklahoma City's a 9.5-point favorite. They were an 11.5-point favorite in game 2. They were a 6.5-point favorite on Friday night and covered by a 0.5, which was crazy. So I'll talk about tonight here in a moment. Look, you got to watch this if you're not watching it, people. This is true captivating sports drama theater. This is the best of the best. You know, I'm a college basketball guy. Many of you know that. But the games are completely different. I mean, these players are just a million times better. The game is played at a much higher level. And when they play like they play in the playoffs, where they're playing every possession as if it's do or die, it just makes for incredible, I think, sports drama. Look, this has been a series in which the games have been officiated in different ways. I can't stand Scott Foster. I do not think the game Friday night was one-sided officiated. That is the cries of Indiana fans. The foul count was exactly the same. And in fact, you know, going into the last couple of fouls when Indiana was forced to foul at the very end of the game, Oklahoma City at that point had been called for more fouls than Indiana. They ended up with one less foul for the entire game and only five more free throw attempts. And again, they had some free throws there at the end because Indiana had to foul when they were down multiple scores. There's something that is very, very different about these NBA finals as I've watched them. I have referenced it, but the other night, I don't recall watching an NBA game where this was happening. And I'll tell you what this is in just a few minutes. I think it's the first time I've ever watched this happen in an NBA game. So on Friday night, it was like game one in which I'm watching the entire game and I'm like, wow, Indiana's got them. They got them. They're going to win this game. They're going to take a 3-1 series lead. And to be honest with you, there were moments in game four on Friday night where I thought Oklahoma City's not only not going to win this game, they look done. They look done. I kept saying, you know, I was watching the game with my middle son, and I said, I was wrong. I was just dead wrong. Indiana is good. And they are as good, if not maybe better, and they're going to win this series. Oklahoma City looks shot. Could they come back from 3-1 down? Yeah, they could. But it doesn't look like they're going to. They just haven't figured it out. And Indiana's matching Oklahoma City's defense. Game one was similar in that Oklahoma City was such the dominant team for 45 out of the 48 minutes, and then somehow Indiana came back in the final 3 minutes and won that game. It was stunning. It was like, okay, they earned it. They did. But man, I never saw that coming. And Friday night was similar in that I was resigned to, you know, Indiana's really good. And by the way, even though they lost the game on Friday night and Oklahoma City came back, these are two even teams. I was definitely wrong heading into this series, as were the odds makers, who had Oklahoma City as like the fifth largest favorite going into the NBA Finals in NBA history. I thought Oklahoma City's defense was just too much, and I thought Indiana had seen a poor defensive team in the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, another poor, you know, defensive team in Cleveland along the way, and that it was just going to be night and day and they weren't going to be able to deal with it. And they couldn't deal with it for much of game one and won game one. And there have been moments in which they haven't been able to deal with it, no doubt. But these are two dead even teams, man. Indiana's not done. They could easily win two out of the final three, winning at least a game. Well, they'd have to in Oklahoma against the Thunder. And I think the Thunder can win two out of the final three. This is dead even. It's what you want. To me, I mean, Oklahoma City's pretty hefty favorite. They are tonight and for the series. I don't know. I would not wager on Oklahoma City to win it. I wouldn't wager on Indiana to win it at this point, even though you're getting a good number on the comeback. I just think that these are two excellent basketball teams. The big difference for me is that Rick Carlisle's a much better coach than Mark Daigneault. Much better coach. Oklahoma City just is not very structured offensively when they need to be. It is a lot of just relying on their playmaking ability. They rely on their defense to generate a lot of their offense. And the other night, they relied on the MVP to take them home. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was sensational. Ended up taking over in the fourth quarter, ended up with 35 points on 50% shooting from the floor, hitting some difficult shots. The three that he hit that cut a four-point lead to one that I thought was massive in the game. Does he get away with things? Yeah, like every superstar does. You know, gets away with a couple of pushes, maybe an extra, you know, half step. He was incredible. You know, clutch. He had not been clutch, really, in this series. You know, Haliburton had been the clutch player at the end of games. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander brought his team home in a game they pretty much had to have almost by himself. Now, the defense down the stretch. They outscored Indiana 12-1 down the stretch. It was their defense on the other end. They got stops. They got rebounds. I mean, you had Chet Holmgren with a big block shot. He was moving his feet defensively. He was great. They were great defensively. And I think as much as SGA was great down the stretch, Oklahoma City's defense ultimately ended up giving them the chance to win that game. Alex Caruso's a big part of that. They're just excellent defensively. Here's the thing that is totally unique in watching an NBA game. By the way, at any time during the course of a season. At any time during the course of a season. I cannot imagine that two teams in the NBA full court pressure each other for 48 minutes. Full court pressing. You don't see that in the NBA. You just don't. Yeah, you'll see them pick up man-to-man, you know, picking up, you know, right around the three-quarter court mark. They're both teams in flat-out man-to-man, occasionally trapping out of the man-to-man, full court press for 48. It's crazy. And it is physically exhausting. And something I talked about after Game 3, I said, Mark Daigneault has to use somebody else to bring the ball up against Indiana's pressure because SGA is getting completely worn out doing it. And he did. That was the change he made. That was specific. Specifically, the change that I thought they had to make. You cannot let SGA be the primary ball handler against full court pressure. And they didn't. They had Jalen Williams bringing it up. They had their bigs bringing it up. They had Dort bringing it up. They had Caruso bringing it up when he was in the game. Can't let SGA get physically, you know, drained with ball handling responsibilities. And they did that. That was the one major adjustment that I thought they needed to make. They did make that, and it was a difference maker. They rested SGA early, too. He ended up playing a few minutes less in the game than he had in the previous game. But I think the lack of needing to bring the ball up against full court pressure, Nembhard in particular, was a great move. But I still think Carlisle and his team is much better in the half court. Can't wait for tonight. I think, you know, look, threes have ended up being a big part of this series, right? Although it wasn't the other night, which was ironic, because Oklahoma City won a game in which they made three threes. They were 3 for 16. They were 1 for 12 in the first half. And Indiana made 11 for 36. But 11 for 36 is what? 30%, 31%, 32%, 31%, 30.6%. There you go. I still got it. A little bit. 30.6% from behind the arc. That's not good enough for them. They got to make more threes. And I think that's the key tonight. I think, you know, turnovers obviously are a big key. Grabbing extra possessions. But, you know, can Indiana, you know, make 36, 37, 38, 40% of their three-point attempts, many of which will be contested. It is kind of amazing, though, that OKC won a game making 3 of 16 from behind the arc. Great, great NBA Finals. A memorable NBA Finals so far. I don't care about the market sizes. I don't care at all. All right, Scott Van Pelt's going to join us next. We'll talk NBA Finals, we'll talk U.S. Open and more.
All right, yesterday, the Boston Red Sox traded away slugger third baseman Rafael Devers to the San Francisco Giants in exchange for three pitchers, Kyle Harrison, Jordan Hicks, and minor league pitcher Jose Bello. Also included in the deal, outfield prospect James Tibbs. The Red Sox also sent Kyle Harrison down to AAA Wooster. J.J. Spahn wins his first career major with a monster 64-foot putt after a soggy day at Oakmont. That's the longest putt made of the day. Again, Spahn wins the U.S. Open. Shohei Ohtani will make his pitching debut tonight versus the Padres. This is 21 months removed from a second UCL surgery. Ohtani will likely only pitch one or two innings tonight as a continuation of his rehab. The Washington Nationals have dropped 8 in a row following a sweep by the Miami Marlins. They will take on the Colorado Rockies tonight on 106.7 The Fan at 6:45. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports, and that is what's trending.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Important question for the balds out there. It's got to be every game, right?
Yeah, every game day. Every game day.
But then in between, will you let it get a little bit?
Yeah, a little stubble.
Yeah, see, I messed up and didn't do it today, but
he's laughing at you.
I'm not nearly as important. Well, look, he's over there. He's going to come on late and do whatever he does. If he ate a steak, he got here late. Don't worry about him. Congratulations. A tremendous fight tonight. We look forward to seeing you in your place on Monday night.
Appreciate it, man.
Yes, indeed. Thanks so much.
And that was Scott with Alex Caruso on Friday night after Game 5. Who was he asking about? Was that Steve he was asking about? Who are you referencing there at the end? Do we have Scott?
We do.
I can't hear him. You there?
You can't hear me?
I got you now.
Yeah, no. I was talking about Stanford Steve, who is waiting in the wings to come on, and he knows Alex as well. So that goes back years where I didn't try to shame Alex. I just explained to him we all arrive at this place on our own, meaning shaving your head. And he was a little late to the party, but he got here, and we were just comparing notes there. Very important journalism there late in the interview.
Yes, it was at the very end, but I've told you this, you know. You're at these NBA Finals games live, which I think is new. You haven't done this in the last few years, correct?
No, this is the first time.
And I think these interviews, you had Halliburton on, you had SGA on after Game 2. I think it was Game 2. You had Caruso on. You had Aaron Wiggins on. I think that they're really... I've told you this. I'm not, you know, whatever. I'm not exactly objective when it comes to things Scott does, but I think they're really good. And I'm wondering if you think being there in person makes a huge difference.
No question. The whole reason that we did this was for those conversations, Kevin, because the difference that you have in a conversation when you're face to face with somebody, as opposed to just sort of this, you know, this voice in the ether when they're staring into a camera, is different. And other than Wiggins, who I'd met at Maryland, like I'd never met any of these people face to face. Where would I have ever seen them? And so just the ability to be in the building, to sit face to face, and I really enjoyed the conversations just because I think, I don't know, I tend to have a different sort of a conversation. The way I go about it is not as formal, I don't think. You know, it's not like a like formal dancing where I do the two steps and then you answer and then I do, and you know what I'm saying? I feel like 100%. It's way more kind of more free flowing. And so, it's a whole bunch of travel. We're going to get on a plane here in a little bit, go to Oklahoma City, but you know, so be it. It's great fun.
You know, I said something last week, and I forget if I've mentioned this to you or not. Oklahoma City's a very young team, but every single interview I've watched with anybody, including those with you, they come off as a very mature group. Or maybe it's just that they are very good interviews. Jalen Williams is a good interview. SGA is a good interview. I think Holmgren is actually somewhat thoughtful. Caruso's great. Have you sensed the same thing?
1,000%. And it goes back to Presti, the way everyone has explained it to me. They're looking for a specific kind of person. Player, sure, that if you can, I mean, Kevin, I think you and I are lovely folks, but I don't think they want either of us in a late-game scenario on
probably
the floor
not.
Taking a shot. We're probably not super helpful. But they're looking for excellent players but who fit a certain kind of mental DNA. And every one of them has told me over and over again that this camaraderie that you see, this connection that you see is a real thing, to the point that, you know, on off nights when other games were going on and it was, you know, before they reached the finals, as guys are hanging out together at night, you know, like, you know, you work with people, but then you might like them fine at work. But then like when the 5 o'clock hits, you're going to go your way and I'm going to go mine. I'll see you tomorrow at work. Well, these guys are really together a lot. And so, no, I don't, it's not like they're performative. It's not like they're just really good at the Q&A. That's just kind of, I think, how they're constructed. And it's been really, really impressive. But I'd be quick to add that Indiana has had a very sort of similar approach and how they've tried to look for certain people and how Pascal Siakam has fit in and how, you know, they're an awfully connected and mature bunch as well. Halliburton, I've been just so impressed with his whole constitution. So, I don't know, I feel like this is a wonderful kind of a couple weeks period for the NBA to have brand new teams and stars, you know, on the stage because one of them is going to win and could be a big part of the future of the league.
You know how much I've enjoyed this so far. I can't wait for tonight. You've been there for all four games. Just describe the intensity of these games and the physicality, if that's even a word. There's just something that is popping when you watch it on TV that just speaks to kind of the highest levels of sort of urgent competition. You've been there for the four games. What's it been like?
Yep. Unreal. And the atmospheres in both Indiana. I mean, what's the line about Indiana? You know, in 49 states, it's just basketball, but this is Indiana, right? Like it matters so much to that state. And then in Oklahoma City, it's the only game in town, right? And so the atmospheres, I think, fuel it. But then the fact that there's so little separation, but other than game two, where Oklahoma City just largely kept the Pacers at bay, that both games in Indiana were insane levels of just back and forth, and you can't put Oklahoma City down, but then the Pacers aren't going to just blink if they lose a lead. And unfortunately, the last sort of 30 seconds on Friday night turned into this wild sequence of intentional fouling and Mathurin missing free throws, and it took so much of the edge off of what had been yet another incredibly intense physical battle that the end felt flat, which was unfortunate because the game up until that last sort of 30 seconds was just as you describe it.
Well, it did get it to an Oklahoma City half-point cover with some of those missed free throws
and wild.
That was
a pretty excruciating beat if you're on the home team because they were never not the right side until there were zeros on the clock, which, as you and I know, that's really the only time it matters.
It only matters then. But I talked about it earlier in the show that, like game one, different in terms of the way it played out, but I never thought for pretty much the majority of the game that Indiana wouldn't win. And in fact, at one point during the game, I said to Corbin, I'm like, I think Oklahoma City's done. I think this is it. And I was shocked by that because I really thought Oklahoma City was the better team coming in, but it didn't end up that way on Friday night. Why?
No. Halliburton finally made a shot. Like, they, I thought, and I asked Doris Burke about this afterwards. You know, we tend to, at the end of a game, look at
SGA knocked down that three you're talking about.
Yes, Gilgeous-Alexander hit a three late to cut. I beg your pardon. Thank you.
Yep.
Cut the lead from 4-1.
Yep.
And then he hit a bucket that gave him the lead, where, you know, he extends that arm and then he took three steps. You know, I felt like you could have called anything there, and nothing was called. Indiana people were livid. I don't blame them. Something happened there, and they just play on. But you focus on that, and then you miss what happened at the end of the third quarter. And yeah, that's 12 minutes away from the finish line. I don't care. It's a 10-point lead. Toppin got fouled, went to the line, missed two.
Yeah.
Siakam had a shot that could have pushed it to 12. It might have been a three, could have been 13. No. He got fouled late in the quarter, had two, missed one. So what I'm getting at, Kevin, is that they had a chance to push that lead into the 12, maybe 14, and I don't think that the Thunder would have just, you know, crumbled or tapped out. I think they'd have fought. But, you know, 14-point lead is a whole lot different than 7, you know? I mean, it's double the lead. And even if it's 12, just mentally it feels further away. And they weren't able to close the third strong, and it allowed that crack. And then in the blink of an eye, it's down to a 4-point game, and then 4 points late, and then Halliburton, SGA finally hit a three, only one he made the whole night, and now it's a one-possession game, and now, you know, it's there to be stolen. I'd say on balance that the bookkeeping feels about right, because I don't think the Pacers were better in game one, but they won. I don't think the Thunder were better in game four, but they won. So 2-2 feels honestly like about the right kind of ledger here more than halfway through.
Yeah, with, to me, any outcome possible here over the final three, what do you think? Final two or three?
Yeah, I mean, I'm done doubting the Pacers. Cleveland, they've been really good. Well, they beat the crap out of Cleveland. You know, sent Milwaukee home quickly. You know, they out-battled the Knicks, and they're tied up here. So I'm not doubting them. But I've been in that building now in Oklahoma twice, and will be again tonight. And they've got to win one there, either here or game seven. And I wouldn't want to stay in the habit of having to steal them late against that Thunder team, which means they're going to have to play a game where they're toe-to-toe and don't fall behind and don't have to rely on, you know, a fourth quarter where the Thunder don't make any shots at all, because that's they didn't make any threes in the fourth quarter of either of their losses, and they only had one the other night.
Yeah.
I think the Thunder, this is what I felt throughout. I just think the Thunder are the better team. Four games in, I'd say it's very fractional, but having two of the three at home, I feel like that building's going to make enough of a difference for them to get the two that they need. So I assume it's the Thunder. I don't know if it'll be, you know, Thursday or I guess Sunday.
All right, let's talk golf real quickly. And I just read your tweet, and I talked about this at the beginning of the show. I can't believe they didn't give Sam Burns some relief on 15. But before we get to that, tell everybody, you know a lot of these guys, the J.J. Spahn story. Was that a popular win yesterday?
Monster. He's such a good guy, and he's an excellent player, Kevin. He's one of these guys that was great as a junior, but then had ended up having a walk-on at San Diego State. Colt Nost, who does has a podcast, very popular podcast, and of course is on CBS's broadcast. But he and I were texting late last night, and he was just so happy for JJ because he's just a really well-liked guy. And he told me in a text form a story of playing with him in Canada one year, and he said guy shot 67 and flushed it, like golf term, like hit it great all day. All day, shot 67, and he said, I walked off, I'm like, how do you not have, aren't you on the PGA Tour? He's like, he just didn't know how good he was. And, you know, he got a breakthrough win a couple years ago in San Antonio, and so now he's a winner, and that changes things. If you're a week-in, week-out golf watcher, you know that he hit a putt on 18 at Sawgrass that if it rolls one more time, he wins that and beats Rory. But he didn't, and he ended up losing in a playoff, and he said last night on the Golf Channel how much that experience helped him. It's very, very popular. And, yeah, I get it. He's not the star name, and it could have been anybody late on Sunday, but he stood up as tall as you can and hit those two shots on 17 and 18, Kevin, that's just big, big balls. Because Oakmont is a scary place, and when it had to be done, he delivered as strong as you possibly can. So thrilled for the guy. I thought he was great on a day when being great was damn near impossible.
Yeah, I mean, I at the beginning of the show, I said this is one of those, you know, sporting events that you describe in terms of surviving and, you know, last man standing. Like, it was carnage. I actually kind of enjoy it, although the weather really made that course difficult when they came back. I know the break, he says, hurt him, helped him a lot. But God, I just saw your tweet as you were talking about NBA, and you tweeted out about Burns asking for relief on 15 when he's one over and he's got a share of the lead, and you said, I'd have been arrested. I can't believe he didn't get relief. That was a lot of water to hit at him.
It was, and because I do golf, I'm very familiar with what we call golf Twitter, and it's a it's a tough room. I'll just put it that way. So I tweeted that, and I had a bunch of players respond to me either on Twitter or by text, like the exact same thing. There's a lot of those rules McJohnnies out there that love to say, well, actually, it's where your stance is, and that wasn't, well, the water wasn't coming up. And I'm just like, listen, man, do me a favor and shut up. Because the golf course was completely saturated, and the players that I texted with afterwards were like, it was borderline unplayable. Like, it was that wet. Adam Scott spoke afterwards. He hit that shot on 11 that just the ball flew a mile offline. It's because his club, like, hydroplaned through the water. And so, look, two rules officials came over, and in their estimation, there wasn't enough water. But I had a big-time player tell me last night, if that's a regular tour event, you don't even ask for a rules official. You just look at the guy will go, yeah, it's a 10 out of 10 relief. No questions asked. That's how much water there was. Again, two rules officials there on the ground deemed it not to be. And I thought Burns handled it incredibly well after the fact. He described what happened, and he said, that's pretty much that. Now, you know, he had to have been furious. I think anyone would have been. Because, again, the course at that point was so wet that it was not unplayable. But there were parts of it that were. And other players, Kevin, were getting relief from lies and situations that didn't appear to be nearly as wet. So that's the part that I find difficult, is it's so arbitrary. Oh, no, you get relief. Well, you don't. I don't? And, I mean, I think you kind of like officiating in any sport. Do you apply the situation? Like, if a guy's 13 over, well, yeah, you get relief. But you're plus one, I don't know. I mean, let's consider the situation, how important the weight of that next shot was. Massive. And it wasn't going to be an easy shot anyway. So, listen, the good news is Spawn does what he does late, and that changes the conversation from being entirely about how Sam Burns got screwed, in the estimation of many, to, hey, J.J. Spawn had an incredible birdie finish to win the U.S. Open.
Yeah, I mean, of course, he ends up draining the 64.5-foot putt, but Burns fell apart after that. I mean, he double bogeyed, then bogeyed, and I think he would have certainly gone to 18 with at least a chance, maybe. Who knows?
Maybe.
Because everybody was falling apart, except for Spahn at the end. One more on the Open. What did you make of Rory's weekend, and then what he said on Saturday about some of his frustration with media?
I'm just baffled at the moment. You know, I'm baffled. I think you and I have talked a lot about this, whether it's been on the air or not. I honestly don't remember. But Rory's always been one of my very favorite players, just because I think he's an interesting man. He's a thinker. He's a reader. He's a, you know, kind of always been sort of searching just in life, right, for how do you get better? How do you just sort of become a more evolve as a human being. And I'm sincere about that. Like, he's just an impressive dude. And he's always been there for the media. And maybe he's just like, he's reached the point where he's had enough. I know he was pissed about the way the thing leaked out about his driver, considering that Scotty's driver at Quail Hollow also failed. But it turned into this whole, oh, Rory cheated at the Masters. No, he didn't. Like, this, clubs are non-conforming. It's this whole test, and I don't want to bore you or your listeners. Yeah. But I'm saying all of that to say this, like, his demeanor at the moment is so off-putting. because he just seems like he's so pissed at everybody.
Right.
And he's like, come on, he's just coming off so poorly for a guy who's always come off, I think, so well. And I don't know. It leads to people speculating something wrong in his life. Did he climb the mountain? He said afterwards, like he climbed his Everest and now he's sort of trying to come down the mountain. I get that. I mean, but I don't. I've never done it. So I don't know if there's just a lot of kind of mental, you know, hurdles you're trying to get over to figure out what am I doing next? What's my next mountain to climb? I have no idea. I just know that when you're like, I just want to play in 4.5 hours and get out of here and you guys are frustrated. I mean, you know, he's earned the right to be honest, certainly. And I don't want to see him squander all this goodwill. I just wonder how he's acted since Quail Hollow, and it's been a series of events that seem very unlike him, you know, and has people wondering, like, what's the story? And I don't have any, I can't illuminate it. I just think it's been odd.
Meantime, he went out and shot, you know, with Rahm, the best round.
67, I believe, right?
Yeah, 67. To finish up. All right. Thanks for doing this. Have a good flight. I'll see you tonight, or I'll watch tonight. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Thanks. I'll wave at you. Thanks for having me.
Scott Van Pelt, everybody. Heading down to Oklahoma City for Game 5 tonight, where he will do his Sports Center following Game 5 on ESPN. That's been, honestly, that's the post game worth watching, because Legler comes on with him to kind of break down the game right when it's over. Then he'll get, you know, the star of the game from either team. And then, you know, a bunch of ESPN people follow before Legler comes back, which... Look, Legs is the best analyst there is when it comes to this. There appears to be an issue brewing with RFK. I'll explain when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980 and TheTeam980.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/home run. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.